Welcome to the deep dive. If you're involved in aviation maintenance today, you definitely know the feeling. The biggest headache often isn't the repair itself. It's just getting the part.
Yeah, the OEM supply chains, especially since COVID, are, well, they're stretched incredibly thin. It's causing real downtime, serious delays.
Absolutely. And this strain, it's really accelerated a shift in a fascinating corner of aviation, the parts manufacturer approval industry. You know, PMA parts.
Right. These are the FAA-approved third-party parts. They're designed specifically to replace OEM components on aircraft like Boeing and Airbus.
Now, historically, PMA was sort of the budget option, wasn't it? Same quality, same FAA approval, just cheaper.
That was the perception, yeah. But what we found looking through our sources for 2025 is a fundamental change. The PMA market is really strong. It's growing fast.
And the main reason isn't just cost anymore.
Not at all. So our mission today is to unpack what the industry leaders are seeing right now. We want to understand how part availability, just getting the piece you need, has become the number one driver.
Moving these parts from just a cost-saving alternative to, well, essential pieces of the supply chain puzzle for global maintenance.
Exactly. It's a huge shift.
Okay, let's dive right into that shift then. Because like you said, it's the core finding. We used to frame PMA mainly around savings. Now it's about timing. Just how bad are these OEM shortages, and why is it forcing such a big change in how airlines buy parts?
Well, necessity is really the engine here. John Benscheidt, he's the president of Jet Parts Engineering, confirms this. He says airlines globally now clearly see the value PMA brings, not just for cost, but for actually strengthening their supply chains.
They need resilience.
They desperately need it. He mentions they're seeing steady growth from established users, but also really rapid uptake from new customers who are turning to PMA out of, frankly, urgent need.
So these might be airlines or MROs that were, you know, fiercely loyal to the OEM before.
Absolutely. Paul Bolton, the president over at First Aviation Services, he points out that parts availability has been a critical burning issue for about 3 years now.
3 years, wow.
Yeah, and the shortage has been so severe that customers who were historically like 100% OEM focused have been forced to rethink their whole philosophy. They just have to open up to alternatives.
Because they're losing money otherwise.
They're bleeding money, waiting for parts that are weeks, sometimes months overdue. It's unsustainable.
Okay, so if availability is the main push right now, does that mean cost doesn't matter as much anymore? Or is it still part of the equation?
Oh, definitely still matters. Pat Markham, who's VP of Technical Services at Hey Iaco Parts Group, he adds some important nuance here. He agrees the post-COVID supply issues boosted demand, no question.
Right.
But he stresses this distinction. Cost savings are usually the primary reason an airline gets PMA parts approved for use in the first place. That's the business case.
Okay. So that opens the door.
Exactly. But it's the availability issue that's currently the biggest factor pushing them to actually buy that approved part right now. The economics justify it long term, but the operational need dictates the immediate purchase.
That makes perfect sense. The approval is based on value, but the action is driven by necessity.
You got it. And Dennis Santari, he's an SVP at Air Technical Services, he backs this up by pointing to some really strong market tailwinds. You've got high aircraft utilization, fleets getting older.
Which means more maintenance events.
Right. Plus, the regulatory side is becoming more favorable to PMA adoption and approvals. So pretty much everything is lining up for continued growth in this space.
Okay, so we've got the big picture. The OEM shortage is driving this surge. Now, let's get more specific. If timing is the critical factor, what exact problems are these PMA companies solving for their customers day to day? It sounds like they're becoming almost like rapid response units.
That's a good way to put it. They're acting as quick responders. Rod Martinez, the president of Aviation Component Solutions, he really emphasizes that the core trend is meeting very specific customer needs.
Like what specifically?
Faster lead times, guaranteed quality, that's crucial, and of course, competitive value. These supply chain problems didn't just create a temporary gap. They've basically carved out a permanent niche for companies that can react and deliver quickly.
It's interesting. When we think about grounded aircraft, we often picture, you know, engine trouble or complex avionics, but some of the sources point to a different kind of demand, almost. Humbler parts.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it, how a simple little bracket or hinge can keep a $100 million jet sitting on the tarmac. Dennis Santari from ATS highlights this. There's huge growth potential in non-critical parts that are often under-supported by the OEMs.
Things people don't think about until they break.
Exactly. Brackets, wear surfaces, hinges, doors, access panels, stuff like that. The OEMs might not prioritize them, but they can ground an aircraft just as effectively as a major component failure if you can't get a replacement. PMA companies are actively targeting these small, frustrating bottlenecks.
And this focus on what customers actually need right now seems to be changing how PMA companies even decide what parts to make in the first place.
Yeah, that's a really interesting structural shift. Jason Dickstein, he leads ARPO, the Modification and Replacement Parts Association.
Hey, the industry association.
He notes that, you know, maybe in the past, a PMA company might design a part they think is needed and then go looking for customers.
Build it and they will come, sort of.
Kind of. But now the model is flipping. They're proactively asking customers, what parts are causing you pain? What do you need us to develop? They're working backward directly from documented operational demand.
Does that make the FAA approval process more complicated? Developing something based on a specific, perhaps niche, need?
Not necessarily more complex, maybe just more collaborative. Pat Markham from HiICO confirms this is pretty much their standard process now. They identify new product lines based directly on what their customers, with specific fleets, say they want and need. He says it's a proven method they've used for decades, relying heavily on that intel from the field.
Okay, speaking of intelligence and development, let's talk innovation. It really sounds like these PMA firms aren't just making copies of old parts. They're often using advanced engineering to actually improve on the original design, maybe fix known issues.
That's honestly one of the most exciting parts of this whole trend. Jason Dickstein mentions a big move towards material re-engineering. For instance, think about older OEM parts that have common corrosion problems.
Right, a constant headache in maintenance.
PMA manufacturers are tackling this by developing entirely new, more durable materials for the replacement parts. Now, this isn't simple. It requires pretty complex regulatory submissions to the FAA, specifically something called test and computation approval applications.
So they really have to prove their new material is better.
Exactly. It means bringing in material science engineers, conducting rigorous testing, and demonstrating to the FAA that their engineered solution is not just equivalent, but often superior and safer than the original part material.
So the goal is genuinely a better, longer-lasting part. Not just a lookalike that costs less.
That's the goal for many of these innovative parts, yes. And technology is really pushing this forward. Dennis Antare gave a great example from ATS. They've invested in some pretty sophisticated tech like Artec Leo wireless 3D scanners, which are AI-driven.
Wow, okay. How do they use those?
Well, their engineers can actually go out to a customer's hangar, scan a problematic part right there in real time.
On the spot.
On the spot. And then they can use 3D FDM printing, that's fused deposition modeling, basically high-end industrial 3D printing, to quickly create and validate their new design dimensions against the original OEM part.
That must dramatically cut down the time from identifying a problem part to having a certified, tested replacement ready to go.
Hugely. It shrinks that development cycle significantly. And here's another interesting dynamic emerging from all this supply chain pressure. Jason Dickstein mentions this kind of surprising, quiet partnership that's starting to happen.
A partnership between who?
Between the OEMs, the original aircraft or engine manufacturers, and the PMA companies. He says, while some level of cooperation probably always happened discreetly, it's becoming more open now.
Really? OEMs working with PMA providers?
He even notes that some engine OEMs are now actually buying PMA parts themselves to help ease constraints in their own supply chains.
Wow. Does that create a weird conflict, or is it just the market adapting to a crisis?
I think it speaks volumes about just how deep the supply crisis is, and maybe also about the maturity and acceptance of PMA quality now. It seems like the free market is just finding ways to fill a massive operational gap.
And the PMA companies themselves, are they working together too?
They are. Centauri mentions that they meet regularly, often through MARPA conferences, specifically to share ideas on process improvements and innovation. The goal is to collectively ensure they can offer strong alternatives when the OEM solution just isn't available or practical.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about tariffs. This has been a factor in global trade discussions. For the U.S.-based PMA manufacturers, have tariffs on imported OEM parts been a clear advantage, or is it more complicated than that?
It's definitely nuanced, but generally, yes, it's been somewhat beneficial for them domestically. John Benscheidt from Jet Parts Engineering says tariffs on certain imported OEM parts do give U.S. providers a relative pricing edge at home.
A little bit of a leg up.
A bit of a nudge, as he put it. But he's quick to add that PMA growth is still mainly being driven by performance, reliability, and crucially, those guaranteed lead times we talked about. The price advantage is nice, but it's not the core reason for the growth.
And these tariffs often target imports from specific regions, right? Like Europe, for Airbus parts.
They do. And Jason Dickstein points out that imported Airbus OEM parts were often already more expensive than PMA alternatives. So the tariffs just make them even more expensive for a U.S. airline or MRO buying them domestically.
Making the PMA choice even more obvious from a cost perspective.
Pretty much, yeah. It strengthens the economic argument considerably for domestic buyers.
But what about the flip side? If a PMA company operates globally, do these same tariffs create problems for their international business?
Yes, that's the potential drawback. Paul Bolton from First Aviation Services mentioned that tariffs did impact their MRO facility, their maintenance shop. They service components from manufacturers in the UK, like GE Doughty, and France, like Collins Rattier Fujac.
So imports needed for their repair work got more expensive.
Exactly. However, they found ways around it, often by sourcing or offering US-produced alternative parts, which actually led to savings in some cases. Rod Martinez from Aviation Component Solutions thinks the long-term industry impact will probably be limited because aviation is pretty resilient.
But short-term uncertainty is never good.
Right. He acknowledges that uncertainty definitely shifts buying behaviors, at least temporarily.
Okay, so looking ahead now, where are these PMA companies focusing their efforts for future growth? Is it all about supporting older legacy fleets as OEMs move on?
Legacy fleets are definitely a big part of it. Paul Bolton notes that OEMs are naturally shifting their primary support focus to their newer next-generation aircraft. That leaves a lot of opportunity for PMA providers to step in and support the older planes that are still flying.
And there are a lot of those still flying.
A huge number. Pat Markham from HEICO adds another factor. Delays in new aircraft deliveries are forcing airlines to keep their current, often older fleets in service much longer than planned.
Which means more maintenance, more parts needed.
Exactly. And it actually makes the entry of PMA parts into even newer fleets a bit smoother as airlines get more comfortable using them on the older aircraft first.
But you mentioned earlier it wasn't just older planes.
Correct. John Benscheidt confirms they see growth potential in both older and newer aircraft platforms. For newer planes, sometimes there are unexpected durability issues with certain original components that pop up early in the service life.
Creating an early need for a better alternative.
Precisely. Plus, there's often high commonality of parts between aircraft generations. Think about the Airbus A320ceo versus the newer A320neo. Many parts are interchangeable, extending the market for existing PMA solutions.
And geographically, where's the growth expected?
Rod Martinez sees strong potential internationally, specifically naming North and South America and also China as major growth markets for PMA adoption.
This has been really illuminating. We've traced how PMA has evolved from, maybe just a cost-saving tactic to becoming this absolutely critical stabilizing force in the aviation supply chain.
Yeah, driven by necessity, absolutely, but also by some serious technological innovation and a much more demand-focused approach to engineering.
The maturity is clear. That Markham mentioned ACICO parts are now found in almost every ATA chapter. That's the standard classification system for aircraft parts, covering everything from airframe to engines. That shows incredible breadth.
It really does. And Dennis Santeri even suggested that theoretically you could see PMA penetration reach maybe 30, even up to 50%. In certain sections of an airframe eventually?
But probably not 100% PMA aircraft anytime soon.
No, John Benscheidt concluded that's pretty unlikely, both for regulatory and practical economic reasons.
And that really highlights the key takeaway, doesn't it?
Yeah.
PMA isn't about replacing the OEMs entirely. It's become this necessary complementary strategy.
That's right. It works best when PMA companies target specific components where they can offer really clear advantages, whether that's cost, lead time, performance, or maybe fixing an OEM design flaw.
Which leads us to the final thought for you, the listener, to
Yeah.
consider. If, and hopefully when, these major OEM supply chain challenges eventually start to normalize,
Yeah, if things get back to some version of normal.
will the levels of PMA penetration we're seeing now hold firm? Or is this reliance on PMA, this acceptance of it, now fundamentally baked into the global standard for aviation maintenance? Has the perception shifted permanently because airlines and MROs have seen the advantages go far beyond just the initial price tag?
That change in perception itself might be the most significant, long-lasting impact of this entire supply chain crisis. Something to think about.